Although I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, this podcast is not therapy and should not be used as therapeutic intervention. Many of the products and practices mentioned are for educational and informational purposes only. Should you need support, please seek appropriate, qualified, and licensed professionals. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Between a Hot Mess and a Therapist, the podcast where we navigate the murky waters between what society expects and what it means to truly live, embrace the messiness, the beautiful chaos of life, and celebrating the rebellion in the process. Whether you're a recent graduate, a seasoned therapist, or someone just curious, there's something here for everyone. But before we dive in, make sure you join the Hot Mess Rebellion community where you can connect to other like-minded souls. I'm your host, Shauna Lovin, a seasoned therapist and wellness educator with a very rebellious spirit. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's rebellion. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Between a Hot Mess and a Therapist. Okay, so today's conversation should be a little fun. Have you ever had a client that you just wanted to reach out and touch somebody? The video screen, across the room, on the phone, whatever it is, you just felt like you just needed to reach out and touch them because you wanted to tell them to wake the fuck up. Okay. So that's where this comes from. So most of you guys know that I also have a full-time job doing some EAP work. And so some of these thoughts kind of came up after having a conversation with one of the clients or members or whatever we call them. And these, think of that one client or a few clients that you've had that they asked for help. Maybe it wasn't like, hey, I need help, but maybe they expressed some like suicidal ideation in some way. Maybe there's some kind of risky behaviors. Maybe they're not accepting any of the help that was actually offered to them after they expressed wanting help. Maybe they complain about every daggone thing. Like everything is wrong. Just everything. Maybe they've told you they have tried everything, but nothing is working. Maybe this client is not clear in their answers and they say that they're stressed. They can't give you reasons why, or they're telling you this is what's wrong and they can't give you reasons why, or they can't even thoughtfully think about why they're feeling the way that they're feeling, despite you doing your part and digging in, right? Because we're going to ask the questions. This is also the client where they're probably not doing anything to really help themselves. Like they're doing things that aren't helpful. Like maybe they're drinking alcohol and blacking out or just too much. Maybe they smoke a little weed. They're doing some kind of drugs or illicit drugs. Maybe they're doing some other risky behaviors, but whatever they're doing is not helping them. They are in this place of they're letting life pass them by and they're just not participating in life. And they're just like, oh, well, this is what's happening to me. And they're just not there. Even if it was messy, they're just not participating in it at all. These are your ambivalent clients, and they're ambivalent about everything that's coming their way. Now, I'm not talking about the clients that we have that is a little bit of a failure to start. I'm not talking about those kind of clients because that's a whole nother conversation. But I'm talking about these clients who say they want the help, but they're not doing anything to help themselves first and foremost. And then even when you do try to offer things to help them or to point them in the right direction, they're still just rejecting that. They're rejecting what you're giving them. That's who I'm talking about today. So after having this conversation with this client that I had actually at my other job, right? It got me thinking like, well, what are these clients actually doing to us? Because I know I am not the only one who's had a client like this, but it's doing something to us. So I came up with this like amazing list of what's happening to therapists when you have a client you don't really like. Okay, so the first thing that I came up with is like these clients are just emotionally draining because it is a struggle to connect with them and they kind of deplete your reserves, like whatever you had. So I'm hoping that this client is not the last person of the day, but we get like this sense of feeling dread, or it may heighten our anxiety before or after the session or whatever's going on. And just your energy is off. It's just, it's not where it typically would be working with the clients you really do enjoy. The other place in the energy is that it leads to burnout. Like it leads or it increases our risk of burnout. And you know, it's like it just because it requires us to hold so much space for this type of person that we may have trouble just regulating ourselves, and it could be taxing on our own nervous system. So that's kind of the energy drain that happens. There's an impact on the actual therapeutic alliance. So are there any like trust or rapport issues? Like, are you harboring feelings about disliking your client? Or if you probably want to admit it or not, I don't know. But how are you showing up in the room? Like, it could be as subtle as like, what is your body language, your tone, your lack of genuine curiosity that may be showing up once you've had this experience with this client? This is also where you want to look at what it does the counter transference look like in this space, because whatever the client is giving you, you're definitely giving something back and you're definitely triggered. And, but sometimes we got to remember, we don't want to ignore or reject how we're feeling, even though it is some form of transference, but it's just a space where we need to think about that. Another one is that there becomes a space where boundaries and ethical dilemmas start popping up. It's like, what is a way that we can avoid unnecessary conversations? Like, you dislike this client and there might be more hesitation to address tough issues, which leads to avoiding the confrontation, withholding, like all these things. There's a lack of transparency that happens when we're kind of in this space. It creates problems with growth and progress for the client. The other piece that comes up in this area is like, are we overcompensating or being just dismissive? Like, this would be like the extremes, but are you trying really hard to like really like this client? Or are you being dismissive to the needs that they actually have and like what they're trying to say? Or are you being neglectful to what the client really needs? Things to think about. Number four that I have on this list is it reduces empathy and compassion fatigue. So on the compassion fatigue part, you know, when we're not liking the client, our ability to hold empathy for them just decreases. It becomes harder to connect with their humanity and understand their pain. And then it limits and basically our ability to be an effective support. It also is challenging for like the client, just the compassion we have for the client over time just fizzles away. Like, we just can't deal with this person. And we find ourselves becoming more detached, cynical. And even in sessions with clients we do like it starts to like radiate and trickle, not just from the client that we don't like, but to the other clients that we're working with. Do you have distorted perceptions? Like, is there a true bias? Do you like and can color how we interpret our client choices and behaviors? I don't know. We may see the behaviors as manipulative, resistance, or frustrating, right? But is it a result of their trauma, their defense mechanisms or patterns or like whatever it is? But we get cloudy in how we see things. We sometimes don't confront the client with, you know, because we're biased now that we don't confront them with what they need. Are we impacting the clinical decisions? Like, we don't may not have clarity in how we're moving with this client. It may create problems with like problem solving, or do we become too rigid or formula with our interventions rather than free flowing and tailored with our clients? Are we avoiding challenges? Are we trying to like stay clear of how we're working with this client and that in their progress? Some more personal things that come up is, how is this impacting our own professional growth? So, you know, when we don't like clients, we can't offer the rich material of our own growth. Like, because, you know, people learn from other people. And if we avoid reflecting or talking about certain things because we don't want to trigger them, or we don't want things to be difficult in this relationship dynamic that we have now, that is self-awareness or something that we're missing out on therapeutically. It also makes our own personal growth stagnant. Like, just because we shy away from reflective, introspective work from ourselves because we're uncomfortable. So think about what that looks like. This is also like, are we facing our own shadows? Because we know that the difficult clients we have are a part of ourselves, and they reflect a part of ourselves, like things that we may not accept with ourselves, but it's a reflection of what we're trying to avoid. There becomes like an internal conflict on, you know, how we deal with our own personal values and, you know, really wanting to help others, but the actual visceral reaction that we're having when we're working with these types of clients. And then it just creates this tension with ourselves, and we get resentful sometimes. The next one on the list is, do we start questioning the ethics of continuing treatment with this person? Like, if we have just such an intense dislike for this client, we need to really assess and think about, how is that impacting things ethically for continuing treatment? If our biases are just too much, we really need to think about, we probably should refer this client out. We have to look at, what is our integrity versus our ego? We may need to check our own ego when we feel dislike and think about, are we rejecting our client's behavior, or is it our own inability to quote unquote fix them? It challenges us in our sense of competence and control as professionals. The last one that I kind of came up with, or actually, no, it's not the last one. So think about how the ripple effect happens on other clients. So we mentioned this earlier. We have a session with a client that we don't like, and it spills over into our work with others. And if we're not decompressing properly, then it's going to affect the next client that we're working with. It may reduce our availability. Like, all of a sudden, you can't see this client. Like, you can't, you know, come to work. You can't. There's things that start to happen because you don't like working with certain types of clients. navigating the desire for termination. So in this space, are you thinking about terminating prematurely? I know that we may need to refer them out because there's the ethical piece, but are you trying to terminate early because there's just some discomfort? So is it knowing, it's like knowing, is it just discomfort versus is this ethically, do we need to continue or do we need to close out our therapeutic relationship and terminate that? There is a difference. So you have to kind of explore that within yourself of what that actually looks like. The last thing that I really do have on this list is that we are fucking human, y'all. We are not superheroes. We do not have the magic wand. We can't fix everybody. We can't guide everyone. We don't work well. We don't mesh well with everyone. It's our personalities. It's our personal preference. It's a lot of things. Acknowledge the fact that you can't do it all. Acknowledge that if you can at least stay grounded in the reality and develop some form of humility, then you might be able to recognize when things go kind of like sideways, like you just may. Have some self-compassion for yourself and recognize, like, when this stuff starts to come up, like, just open up the space of looking at yourself, what's going on, and hold space for what is happening. And then don't make decisions when you're like high emotions, but figure out like, what do you need to do or where do you go from here? Do I work with this client or do I not? I bring this up today because just navigating with clients that we don't like, it taps into our sense of integrity, resilience, and emotional capacity. Sometimes it's messy. It's uncomfortable part of our work. But it also offers a deep potential for growth. If we are willing to face it head on, we can really grow in this space. So think about when you're working with these clients, do you need to be more reflective in your own practice? Do you need supervision? Do you need some consultation? Like, what is it? Step into whatever you need in the moment. And make sure that you just become more conscious, authentic, and grounded in both of your strengths and your limitations. I just wanted to bring this up today because when you're working with a client that somehow strikes a nerve, that means something. And this is how we learn what clients we like to work with and what clients we don't. This is like that niche thing that everyone talks about. So it's not always a bad thing, but definitely make sure you listen when it comes up. I hope this was helpful today and y'all have a good one.
Thanks for joining today's rebellion with me. Remember, it's okay to be a hot mess sometimes. It's all part of the journey. Until next time, stay rebellious, stay authentic, and keep embracing the beautiful messiness of life. Don't forget to join the Hot Mess Rebellion community where you can connect with other like-minded souls. And anything mentioned in today's episode will be linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, you share with a friend, you leave a review, and you keep coming back for more. This podcast was brought to you by Healing Roots Wellness and Botanicals. For more information, please visit healingrootswab.com.